We are ending our series in Romans today. This is the last passage, the last little section of Romans. So turn, if you haven't already, to Romans chapter 16. We'll be looking at verses 19 to 27. It's the conclusion to Romans. This has been great. Romans is about the righteousness of God. And when I say righteousness of God, what I mean is how God puts us in a right relationship with himself. He makes us righteous when we don't deserve it through Jesus. And we receive that by faith in what Jesus has done for us. And then it's all about all the, or many of the implications of this reality in how we live our lives, how we relate to other people and how we relate to God and how we relate even to the government and our enemies and all these things. So we're finishing up today. Let's ask for God's word, or God's help as we look at his word together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and that it's true. And I pray that you would just help us to understand what you have said through your word. I pray that we would receive it as the true word of God. I pray that we would believe it and live in the light of it, and we just ask for your help. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I'll read the text, Romans 16, 19 to 27. Paul writes, "The report of your obedience has reached everyone. Therefore, I rejoice over you, but I want you to be wise about what is good and yet innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Timothy, my co-worker, and Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my fellow countrymen, greet you. I, Tertius, who wrote this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, who is host to me and to the whole church, greet you. Erastus, the city treasurer, and our brother Quartus greet you. Now to him who is able to strengthen you, according to my gospel and the proclamation about Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept silent for long ages, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic scriptures, according to the command of the eternal God, to advance the obedience of faith among the Gentiles to the only wise God through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever. Amen." This is God's word. So this is the Paul's conclusion to his amazing letter to the Romans. And Paul is ending his letter on a high note. He wants to encourage his readers, the Christians in Rome, this church that he'd never visited. He did not start this church, but he has a lot of friends there, and he wants to visit soon. And so he wants to end his letter with encouragement. And if you look at verse 25, notice how he says, "Now to him who is able to strengthen you." Paul is talking about how God is able to strengthen these believers in Christ, to strengthen their faith, to strengthen them in the truth. And if you flip back to the very first chapter of Romans, if you look at chapter 1, verse 11, this is near the beginning of the letter, and he says, "For I want to see you very much, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you." That is, to be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. So Paul says at the beginning, he's like, "I want to come visit you. I want to strengthen you. I want to encourage you." He's not able to go yet. He's got another trip to make first. But it seems like he's using his letter to do what he wants to do when he gets there, you know, to strengthen these believers in the Lord, to encourage them. That's what he's doing. Now, we're not talking about physical strength. He's not saying, I've got a workout plan for you. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But he's talking about another kind of strength, right? He's talking about inner strength spiritual strength for each Christian that he's writing to, each Christian in this church, and for the church community. He wants them to be established. That's another way to translate that word, strengthen, to have their faith solidified, their commitment to God to be reinforced, okay? Now, I want to ask you, does anybody here today need to be strengthened? Anybody need to be strengthened today? Can I get a witness here? Does anybody need to be encouraged today? Yeah, so why do we need to be strengthened, brothers and sisters? It's because one of the reasons that the church in Rome needed to be strengthened is because there's a lot of false teaching out there. And that's true for us too. There's a lot of false people that want us to have an idea about the meaning of life that has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with the good news, or it's a twisting, a distortion of the gospel. There's a lot of false teaching, philosophies of the world out there. And so we need our faith strengthened so we don't fall prey to error. And there's also a lot of temptation out there. We need to be strengthened in holiness so that we can resist the temptation to sin. There's a lot of, you know, the world out there doesn't really care about resisting the temptation. And then for we who are believers, you know, we're not totally sanctified yet. Our hearts are a mess. And so we need strength to live a holy life and a life that honors the Lord. There's also persecution that is going to come soon to the church in Rome. There's going to be pressure on them to give up their faith. So soon it will be state-sponsored persecution of Christians, you know, empire-sponsored persecution of Christians. And so they need to have their courage strengthened so that they'll stand firm in the faith and not let go of it when they face that pressure. Now, we don't face the intense kind of persecution that the Roman Christians did, but there's some pressure on us, too, to conform to the ways of the world, and we need to be, instead of conforming to the pattern of this world, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That's what Paul said in Romans 12. And so we need to be strengthened. And then also, like we heard this morning during the prayer time, we're just facing the normal problems of life, aren't we? And we need encouragement. You know, we have health problems. We've got money problems. There's potential conflicts with people in our lives. And so we need to be strengthened to live for the Lord. And as we face all these just everyday problems that we go through, we need to be strong in the Lord. Now, what Paul says in verse 25 is the one who is able to, he talks about the one who is able to strengthen us, him who is able to strengthen us. And if you look down at verse 27, it clarifies who he's talking about. The only wise God. That's who is able to strengthen us. God is the one who is powerful to strengthen us. The Greek word there, able, is the word dunamis. We get the word dynamite from that. You know, not that there was dynamite in the first century in Rome, but God is powerful. He's got strength to strengthen us. He's powerful. God's the one that can do it. And we want to experience that strengthening, don't we? So what I want to show you in this passage today are four things about God that will strengthen us. I want us to notice four things about God that will strengthen us today. So the first thing that I want to look at, something about God that will strengthen us, and we see this in the first couple of verses 19 and 20, is God's victory. God's victory will strengthen us. What do I mean by that? Well, in the last section that we looked at in Romans before we got to this passage, Paul warned the Roman Christians about false teachers who create division in the church. And so these people try to convince Christians to turn away from the teaching that they'd received, from the truth about Jesus, the gospel. They're trying to convince them to follow other philosophies. And even earlier in the letter, in chapter 1, verses 28 to 32, Paul described the way that people who reject God become really corrupt and evil. And the Roman Christians had come out of this kind of world. But let me just read to you these verses. It talks about the evil that's in the world and even in us, you know. So this is what he wrote. Because they did not think it worthwhile to acknowledge God, God delivered them over to a corrupt mind so that they do what is not right. They are filled with all unrighteousness, evil, greed, and wickedness. They are full of envy, murder, quarrels, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, arrogant, proud, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, senseless, untrustworthy, unloving, and unmerciful. Although they know God's just sentence and those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but even applaud others who practice them. So that's just a snapshot of the evil that's out there in the world. There's a lot of evil out there, and there's a pull on our hearts to get back into it. So we need to be strong so we don't give in to false teaching, and we don't give in to the temptation to sin. And then Paul writes in verse 20, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. So Satan is the enemy of God. Some people have trouble believing in Satan these days. But if you look at all the evil in the world, all the evil that's happened in the course of history, it explains a lot to recognize that there's an evil spiritual force behind it, a force that's opposed to God. And that's Satan. And God will defeat Satan, he says. He will crush him. He will defeat him. When Jesus rose from the dead, that was a declaration of God's victory over Satan. Satan wasn't able to keep him dead. Jesus conquered Satan. But Satan still has some free reign for now. But when Jesus comes back, he will totally defeat all the forces of evil, including Satan. He will cast them into hell forever. And those who've trusted in Christ will share in his victory. So let that truth strengthen you. God wins. God wins. Evil doesn't win. God wins. In the meantime, while we're waiting, we need to remember a couple of things. So if you look at verse 19, we should be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. Okay? I recently had a conversation with a Christian, not somebody part of our church, but this Christian said to me that the people who oppose God are so evil and so ruthless that Christians need someone who is evil and ruthless to fight for us. Now, of course, the Bible is saying something very different from this, right? We shouldn't get involved in evil. If you look at Romans 12, verse 9, Paul writes, detest what is evil, cling to what is good. And in chapter 12, verse 21, Paul says, do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. So if we give in to the tactics of evil, even in order to defeat evil, we've already lost. We've been conquered. We can't do that. We can't give in to evil to defeat evil. So if someone evil is opposing you, don't fight back with evil. You have to do what's good and right and wait for the Lord's victory. The Lord will have the victory, and we just need to wait and trust in him and not give in to the evil to fight back. Okay, God's victory is coming, so let's wait for it. And the other thing that we need to remember, if you look at verse 20, he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus will be with you. So God will have the victory over evil at the right time, and that time is coming soon. We don't know when, but it's coming soon. It's the next thing on God's calendar. Jesus is going to come back. It's not here yet. But in the meantime, Jesus' grace is with us. Isn't that good news? So if you need strength and encouragement because you see a bunch of evil and lies all around, it's even touching your life, it's affecting the people that you care about, it's affecting yourself, you know. And even sometimes there are times we give in to those lies and we give in to temptations. We need to be strengthened. We need to look to God's victory. We need to believe it's happening. He is going to defeat evil. God wins. His victory is coming soon. So don't give up. Just wait for it. Wait for God's victory. Trusting in Him. It strengthens our faith to know God will defeat evil. That was the first thing. And the second thing now I want to tell you about is we find strength in being part of God's family. Okay? In verse 19, Paul writes that the obedience of the Roman Christians has encouraged everyone. And what he means is these other churches that I've been visiting, they know about your faith. They know about how you're seeking to follow the Lord. That encourages them. You need to be encouraged that you've been encouraged, that you've encouraged them. And then in verses 21 to 23, Paul lists a bunch of names of the people that are with him who send their greetings. Like, this person says hi, that person says hi. So some of those names include, I'll just go through them quick. There's Timothy, that's Paul's right-hand man. He later would become a pastor in Ephesus. Then he's got three guys who he says are fellow countrymen. Probably that means that they're Jews like he is. And then there's Tertius. He's the scribe. He's the one who transcribed the letter as Paul dictated it, and he gets his own little line in there, you know. Paul's been dictating, and then Tertius is like, "Let me say hi." He's like, "I greet you too." And then it goes back to Paul talking. Okay. Then there's Gaius. He's got a big enough house to host Paul in Corinth and to let the Corinthian church meet at his house. He says hi. Erastus, who's a city official, says hi. So does this other guy named Quartus. If any of you are about to have your fourth child, that's a good name for your fourth child, Quartus. And if you're having three, Tertius, it's a good one. And you could have your third and your fourth child be Tertius and Quartus. Be kind of nice. Okay, so a few days ago, I got a message from a Christian friend of mine. I hadn't seen him in a while, but we keep in touch a little bit. He has a meeting coming up with some people, and he asked me to pray for him. Because when he meets with these people, there's going to be potential for some frustration. He can anticipate this already. He knows these people. He knows what they're like. He wants to meet with them, but he knows there's potential for frustration. He knows there's potential temptations that are going to come up being in the meeting with these certain people. Okay, so he asked me to pray for him. But here's the strange thing. You know, of course I told him I was going to pray for him, but I felt encouraged hearing from him. It encouraged me. Because, like, we hadn't talked in a while, but here's this Christian brother of mine, and he's still holding on to his faith in the Lord. He's trying to follow the Lord closely. He has this similar struggles and temptations that I have. And there's this bond that we have in Christ where he's asking me to pray for him, and I can ask him to pray for me, okay? And we could share these struggles together. So if you need some strength today, if you need some encouragement, stay close to God's family. Stay close to God's people, his family. We're your people. Look around here. These are your people. Look right, look left. Don't be embarrassed. Look at these people in here. You need to stay close to these people here in the local church. And you also have brothers and sisters in Christ that go to churches who were here and now are living in other places and come back to visit us. And we're encouraged by you guys. And hopefully you're encouraged by us. Just seeing the Lord continuing, or seeing people to continue on in the Lord, it's such a blessing. And we can be encouraged we can be strengthened by God's people. One of the main ways that God strengthens his people is through his people. So stay connected, stay close to his people. So we're strengthened, number one, by looking to God's victory. Number two, by staying connected to God's family. We're also strengthened, number three, when we trust that God is wise, God's wisdom. Okay, if look at that last paragraph, verses 25 to 27, the last three verses of Romans. This is a prayer of praise to God. Paul is giving glory to God, to the only wise God, the God whose plan to save his people is so amazing. No human mind could have thought of this. It proves that God's wisdom is totally unique. God is so wise. So in this prayer of praise, Paul reminds his readers, the Roman Christians, of many of the themes that he's already written about. And just look carefully at this paragraph while I kind of talk about some of these themes here. This letter is about the gospel, okay? This is God's good news of salvation. This good news is all about Jesus Christ, the proclamation of Jesus Christ, God's Son, who became a man and died for our sins and rose from the dead, and he's coming again to judge evil and rule over all things, okay? This plan of God is a mystery that for long ages was not understood, but now it has been revealed in the coming of Jesus Christ. Earlier in Romans, Paul explained that one aspect of this mystery that's now been revealed is that salvation is not just for God's chosen people, the Jews, but also for the Gentiles, for the nations. Most Jews at the time that Paul was writing had rejected Christ, but he says, when the time of the Gentiles is complete, all Israel will be saved. So there's a time coming when Israel will turn back to God, but even now, like, God's salvation isn't just for the Jews, it's for us. It's for people all over the world. The word Gentiles could also be translated the nations. It's for the nations. It's for Americans. Praise God. It's for us. This plan of God is revealed in the scriptures. That is, in the Old Testament. Now you're thinking, well, they had the Old Testament a long time. Why was it a secret? Well, now the Old Testament can be understood in light of Christ. And we see how this was God's plan all along, but we just weren't able to understand everything until Jesus showed up. And now we read the whole Bible in light of Christ. And we see God's wonderful, amazing plan to save his people. God has commanded that this good news be proclaimed everywhere to the nations, to the Gentiles, so that many would respond with the obedience of faith. The obedience of faith. That is, they would obey God by trusting in Jesus, and they would trust in him with the kind of faith that seeks to obey him. This is God's amazing plan of salvation. It's magnificent. It's astounding. It's wise, so wise. Who would have thought that God's own Son would take the penalty of our sins on himself? Who would have thought that forgiveness and eternal life is not for those who are trying their best? Because who is really trying their best, right? God's salvation is not for the good people, because no one is good enough. But it's for those who trust in Jesus. Who would have thought that that's who God would save? This is amazing. This is good news. If you're a believer in Christ, and you're here today, and you need to be encouraged, if you need to be strengthened, thank God for his wisdom for the way that he saved you and your brothers and sisters in Christ. This good news is what will strengthen our church. It will strengthen our hearts and strengthen our church. And we must never waver from this good news. So in the last thing I want to draw your attention to out of this passage, something that will strengthen us, is God's glory. You see that in verse 27, to the only wise God through Jesus Christ, to him be the glory forever. Amen. So God gets the glory. He gets the credit. Everything that exists, including you and me and everyone here, everything is made to give God glory, to tell him how amazing and wonderful he is. If you're like me, you can get pretty focused on yourself and your own problems. It's so encouraging to know that God loves me and God saved me and he cares for me. But I also need to remember that I'm not the center of the universe. God is. My life is for his glory. Ironically, this reality strengthens my heart. So if you need to be strengthened today, and we all do, praise God for his glory. So these are let me mention again the four things that are going to strengthen us. God's victory, God's family, God's wisdom, God's glory. Let's find our strength in God today. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this good news, and I pray for your people here that they would be strengthened in you. Thank you that you're the one who can give us strength and encourage us. I just ask for your help right now, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.